Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horrors with you. And what the hell is going on? Other than there's nothing going on in the markets. That we know is a absolute fact. It has been one of the worst periods I have seen in about 11 or 12 years of absolutely zero action happening. It's funny when you look at, you know, the activity, and there is none. And of course, you know, the markets drift a little bit higher, but you know, what you've seen over the last, couple of weeks, month, whatever, is that the markets will open and then they will move. But at the end of the day, they kind of come back and hunt around the midline. I mean, you know, again, you can't, anytime the market's within 50 points of unchanged, that's pretty much where we're at. So if we go back to 2 weeks, if we go back to the original French election, we had the two big up days, and then we've had basically been inside there. We've had less than a 200-point range from top to bottom. In the last 12 days or so, the high of the market was 21,000 basically. The low of the market was 20,900. Now, you know, it's kind of hard to grind them out when that's your highs and your lows. And I think this is a market that volume continues to dissipate. Volatility is destined to try to hit that low of 939. And you know, what really pisses me off is the jackasses on TV that continue to quote this as 23-year lows when it's as clear as the nose on your face that the low was in 2006. But you know, again, I can't listen to they're the big time media, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I think that's an embarrassment. I do think that what's more embarrassing is the way that they cheerlead. You know, it's the trap that they're setting. You know, it's almost like they're in cahoots with the big guys. And I know they're not, but it's almost like they're in cahoots trying to set this whole thing up and give you a model that says, you know, okay, well, we're never going down again, and there's never going to be a problem. And of course, look. Whether you're bullish, bearish, whatever you are, all right, we know that markets go up, markets go down. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? I mean, it's not, we're not talking about rocket science here. We're not talking about something that is unusual. We're talking about just the natural statistical model. And, you know, if everybody uses statistical models in, you know, giving you the price for what insurance should be, giving you the price for what this should be. You know, when you price your house, you look at the neighborhood and you know, you get the average. And so everything is statistical. Well, all of a sudden the markets became non-statistical because, of course, this time is different. And everybody knows that we might go to Dow 1 billion because they're never going down again because God forbid. You know, there would be a reason to believe that they're going to go down. And, you know, again, look, I don't see, I hear the talk about how good the economy is, and we talk about full employment. And full employment is not so good when you're not making enough money. Full employment is not so good when you don't have insurance. Full employment isn't so good when you have a bunch of idiots in Washington, D.C. you know, this is again another just another pile of crap that is being sold as to us as a bill of goods as to, you know, what's going on. And you know, it's truly amazing that, you know, you have supposed smart people that talk about things like all of a sudden the world or the economic system is at a dramatic change, and that the Keynesian way of thinking, the Keynesian economic system, was all of a sudden going to be flawless, and they've solved all of the problems that we have. And then you see earnings like companies like Macy's that employs, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And of course, their earnings were abysmal. And of course, the stock made new lows. You look at, you know, other things that are going on, and you say, well, how can that be? You know, we've got full employment. We've got a company earnings are phenomenal. Well, yeah, of course, when you set the bar so low, it's hard not to be phenomenal. And I think that's just a giant mislead. And, you know, it's tragic because, you know, many of us depend on good news reporting that actually tells us what's really going on versus the crap that we get, which doesn't tell us what's really going on. And I think that tells you more than anything, you know, where we are within the market system, where we are within everything else. And again, that becomes the overall tragedy, because it's so easy to report correctly instead of reporting, you know, the way that we see reports coming out. Because, you know, we've come to a stage that we have to mask the bad news and try to pretend like it's good news. And, you know, we have not solved healthcare. We have not hit the tax cuts. We have the promise of the maybes of these. We've got the Democratic Party only worried about figuring out how they can impeach Donald Trump. You've got Donald Trump firing Jim Comey. And, you know, of course, all of a sudden, you know, from the Democrat side, they're saying, oh, no, you fire him. You must be covering up. And of course, I mean, isn't that just stupid? I mean, you know, here's a group that was dying to fire him when he cost, in their minds, Hillary Clinton the election. But now that he actually got fired, well, I guess it's not good anymore. And these are the things that, you know, you find it interesting, okay, at the way we like to twist the news. And, you know, that's what I find to be fascinating, is the way that, you know, the mainstream media does their disservice to the average guy in the street. I think that that's, you know, I think it's a shame. I'd say it's criminal, but it's really not criminal. But I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that we have idiots that, you know, bring us the news. I think that you look at a lot of these things that go on, and I'm going to talk more about that when we come back from the break, because, again, I think it's important. You know, I think that proper news reporting is important. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show on this Friday. And of course, just a special announcement. I'll be guest appearing on the Sporting Edge tomorrow. So check it out, Xander's show. But I'll be guest appearing tomorrow. So check that out. This is the Bubba Show. All you do is go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day. And of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to step out here for break, and we will be right back at the break with more. The Bubba Show, Top of Horowitz, coming right back to you. Show. It is me, Bubba, and what's going on, everybody? And by the way, you can check out Kitco. I've been writing for Kitco every day for the next couple weeks, in case you want to read a quick paragraph of what I think on the metals. But so, you know, all week, you know, they kept reporting on volatility, the VIX, the volatility index, the complacency in the market. And of course, you and I have talked about this for months, right? They're now, it's now mainstream media. We were on it before it now become mainstream. But my point is very simple here, right? They're misreporting it. And not only are they misreporting it, they won't fix it. I have taken the time, right? Because I get, as you know, I get very angry with these jackasses that report news that don't report the correct news. And again, I don't, if it's an opinion, then you have an opinion, that's fine. Okay, I don't have, you know, obviously I can never argue with anybody's opinion, but this is not an opinion matter, this is a fact. The VIX index is not on 23-year lows. The VIX index made its low the week of 12/18/2006. The low was 9.39. Now, we're in, right now, we're at a little bit over 10 again, but we got down to about 9.5. But now, the reason that I find it so damn irritating is because I emailed them, I sent them the chart, and they still refuse to report it correctly. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that they want to be more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but they want it to be more fantastic. Like, oh my God, how could that happen? And I think that's a disservice. I think that's bad reporting. I think it's ignorance. I think it's stupid. And, you know, I wish these people that were getting paid $1 million a year to report the news would actually report the news correctly instead of incorrectly. I think that's a tragic portion of where we've come to now, that we can't report the simple facts as they are. Now, I find that to be a little bit disturbing when we're now not using factual information to put together exactly what the news is. So, you know, I sent charts, I marked them up, and I go, really, you're going to continue to report that? And then the next day, they report the same thing. So, I don't know. But, of course, these are the same people that believe that, you know, Jamie Dimon from, you know, J.P. Morgan, you know, has said, well, you know, he likes, you know, what they're doing now and believes, you know, in what the Fed is doing. And of course, well, why wouldn't he believe in the Fed is doing? We all realize, right, that the only benefactor of this whole Federal Reserve garbage of creating $4.5 trillion, okay, over the last 8 years is the banks. Okay, nobody else benefited from that. I mean, your 401k benefited if you held, but from a true benefit standpoint, nobody really benefited. But of course, Jamie Dimon likes it. Why wouldn't he? They stole all the money. You know, it's a hell of a business to be in when you're a banker and you can lend money that you don't have and you don't have the reserve, but you can lend money out, get paid back. And if you make a mistake, if you make bad loans, you get settled. You get made whole by the Federal Reserve. But so, you know, why wouldn't Jamie like, you know, the low interest rate policy? They'll whine that, well, we're not making enough money, but in the meantime they're taking record bonuses. And of course, they continue to lend out money, which is in theory printing more money. Without a care in the world. I mean, it's a hell of a business model, you know, as they call them, the bankster gangsters, okay, to be able to lend money, get paid back with interest, and then if the loan defaults, oh, well, we have to go to the Fed. We gotta make us whole. Print us some more money, please. I mean, and again, I find this whole model that we're involved in now just a joke, because really we're going to just continue to go at this pace. What happened to true accountability? All right. I mean, what happened to allowing a business to go out of business if you're not, if you can't cut it? You know, where is, you know, John Smith Hardware Store when he's struggling? You know, where's the money there? Right? I mean, when you think about it, what service is JP Morgan providing that is so life shattering that they have to be bailed out? And, you know, so of course they like it. Of course they like the free money. Why? Who wouldn't like the ability to have the free money flowing in? Who wouldn't like to be, you know, basically, you know, making billions of dollars and taking all kinds of chances, and then if something goes wrong, oops. Okay, well, at least I get bailed out. So, you know, I mean, the whole system is gone kablooey, as far as I'm concerned. When you look at, you know, what's going on, and you watch these markets continue to explode to the upside. Now, again, listen, there's nothing wrong with the market going up. I'm not a perma bear. I don't care. I mean, listen, I'm long. I'm benefiting from the crap, the very crap that I'm complaining about. I'm a benefactor. But the point is it shouldn't be that way. The point is that we have to have a system in place that creates, we have to have a system in place that does the right thing. But all we're doing now is turning into a bunch of lazy jackasses with nothing going on. And, you know, we're in such disarray. And of course, you'll hear the same story all the time. Well, but we're the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry. We're the best. Well, of course, we're the best. But that doesn't, just because you're the best, I mean, you know, do you want to compare yourself against a pile of manure? Is that what we're now comparing to? We want to compare ourselves to a pile of crap? I mean, you know, yeah, of course, anybody look into a pile of crap. Well, maybe not everybody, but so what is the issue here? Where is the real America, okay, that did not try to screw and manipulate and work its way out, okay? I mean, it's to a point that it's ridiculous, okay? And I want to see, excuse me, I want to see the things done the right way, okay? From the shoddy news reporting, from the cheerleading pundits, from the advisors that continue to tell you that just buy, buy, buy. And of course, they don't get a buy, buy, buy because they only get paid, paid, paid when you're in the market. If you're holding cash. Now, you all know that I don't believe in holding cash anyways. But I also don't believe in trying to time the market from a standpoint of, let's switch assets and let's switch areas because this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So if we balance out our portfolio, it'll be protected by a thing. And that's another crock. That is the biggest bunch of bull ever, okay, that you think you can balance out your portfolio the way you do things because it don't work that way. You know, if we remember back in, you know, 2008 or any time before, right, the markets did what they did. And those who had the so-called safer stocks, they did not fare any better than those that didn't have the safer stocks. And this is something that I believe is the most misleading, most disgusting, phony thing on earth. And we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break, because, you know, these are issues that we get into, and because we've always done it that way, and that's wrong. Okay, so we're going to talk about that and more when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm is where you can download the show every single day. And you can get the Sporting Edger, in which I will be guest starring. Well, guest appearing, I guess, not guest starring, tomorrow. But in the meantime, also check out BubbaTrading.com and download Bubba's Bottom Line, We're going to stop out here for a break. We will be right back with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you after the break. The Bubba Show.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back, Bubba. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, you know. All right, so I went to dinner last night and with two extremely successful folks. And, you know, and I know a lot of very successful people, and I know a lot of very smart people, but it's an amazing thing how we are trained to think, and how these things get ingrained in our minds over years, and we cannot seem to adjust or get away from it. And what I'm talking about is, why did you do that? Well, because I've always done it that way, or I was taught to do it that way. So we look and we watch the markets, if you do. And you hear the analysts talk about markets. And they go, okay, we're in a risk-on environment, and now we need to go to risk-off. So what do? Well, we sell all these higher flyer stocks, and we buy all these safer stocks. And then, oh, no, let's go back to risk-on, and then we sell. So what are we really doing? We're really churning our own account, because of the commission that we're so fortunate enough to get to pay the broker, all right, on their recommendation. And of course, in every major epic collapse of the markets over the history, the safer stocks performed no better than the risk-on stocks in percentage-wise. And percentage is a percentage. You know, must we forget where all these safe stocks were in 2008. Must we forget where all these safe stocks were in 2001? The trying to time the market portfolio is a fallacy. It's created by the advisors and by the brokers, all with the mind of churning your commission and making sure that you're in the market, because so they can collect their money. Right now, of course, they want you to make money, because if you make money, you don't quit them. All right, but I go back to the thing. So I'm sitting to dinner, and we're talking about this, and I'm explaining how to hedge and all this other stuff. And of course, the argument is, well, you know, well, my broker says, and I go, your broker's an idiot. All right, and I happen to know his broker as well. He's a friend of mine as well. I go, you know, look, everybody does things the same way, and this goes back into, you know, the election. Okay, you know, a lot of people voted for Hillary Clinton, all right, not because they knew who she was, not because they liked her, but because she was a politician. Donald Trump was not a politician. So we need to have a politician. So my question is why do we need a politician? What makes a politician better? Is it not the politicians that have brought us into this? So when you talk about the market, and I go, well, why wouldn't you try to do this? I mean, I can prove to you, to a mathematical certainty, with what I'm telling you, versus, you know, the way you are, you have no certainty. But I can put it down to a mathematical certainty. And they go, Well, it's the way we've always done it. And isn't that a shame that we make our decisions based on the way we've always done it? Now, you know, if you continue to do that and you don't understand how to change your ways to make something better, then are we not going to be in the same position because that's the way we've always done it? It's the same from the market meltdowns because they come out because that's the way we've always done it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be any more market meltdowns because, again, you can see through all the manipulation, through all the crooks, through all the Ponzi schemes, markets still manage to melt down and then they recover. But my simple point is just this, that we are such a nation of that's the way we've always done it, and something new is incorrect and wrong. And that's, I think it's one of the major problems. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of this. I think that the whole situation is incorrect from the standpoint that nothing changes. There is no safe, because if you could figure out when it was to be risk on, risk off environment, then you're the same as timing the overall market, and which means that you can pick the tops and bottoms, which means that you should never have to worry about it ever. But of course, that's not factual, which goes back to the point that there are a bunch of they just want your money. You know, they want your commission. That's the problem. And to me, that's the bigger problem. Okay. They should be working on an incentive of your portfolio, not on a flat fee. Okay. Let the brokers, let the advisors work on an incentive. Why should I pay somebody, you know, 1 in 10 or 2 in 20 or whatever it is? And why should I pay them anything unless they perform? Isn't that the way? Don't we do everything based on performance? I mean, you know, maybe you have to give them something to be in business, but let's say you give them 0.5% or 0.25%, just enough to make some of the expenses. But why should we have to pay? I mean, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. Okay, because again, the model is flawed to the fact of how they get paid and what they get paid. In the meantime, they're making their whatever piece that you make an arrangement for, and you're under no guarantee to do anything. So you could be losing, they could be making. I don't know why that we shouldn't have to see it shared, you know, either side of the table. And I think that becomes, again, it's just another issue of the way things are run. And because why? Because that's the way we've always done it. Well, maybe the way we've always done it isn't could be improved upon. Okay? Maybe the way we've always done it is incorrect. Maybe the way we've always done it is what's led us into these collapses and led us into allowing the Federal Reserve to become the greatest bubble builder in history and allowing them to continue to destroy our currency. Maybe the way we've always done it is the reason that we've got so many people collecting public aid. Maybe the way we've always done it is the reason that we've got a social security system that is breaking down. Maybe the way we've always done it is the reason that we've got so many people in poverty. Maybe because the way we've always done it, we've now got full employment with all crappy jobs. So, you know, the way we've always done it is not always the way it should be. And one of the things, you know, that separates us from the monkeys, okay, is that our adaptability, our willingness to change into something else so that we can potentially find a better way to do it. So if you tell me that's the way we've always done it, that doesn't make it right, okay? I think that that's very much of a tragedy that we've come to a point where we rely on the that's the way we've always done it routine. I'm not a fan. I'm not at all happy with the way we've always done it. You know, I think that you have to be willing to be innovative when it comes to the way we do things, from elections to markets to trading to your everyday life. And just because that's the way we've always done it, does not make that way right. Which is why, just because somebody is or is not a politician should not warrant them to be in office. And just because we've done it this way, I don't like it. I don't want it. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm to the point where, you know, the way we've always done it is proven to be destructive. Okay? So why wouldn't we think of something new? I mean, when you if you talk about men that are making 20% less over a lifetime now, all right, when you're talking about, you know, jobs being scarce for most, then maybe the way we've always done it is not very good. And that becomes, you know, and this goes back to the entire system, that maybe it's not done right. And maybe we have better ways to do it. And that's what I find to be sad, because the way we've always done it is stupid. It's not, it takes no thought to repeat the same failures over and over again. And, you know, look like it or not like it, we have seen many, many failures that certainly could have been avoided by having changed the way we always did it. And I think that the difference is we as humans are supposed to be always evolving. But isn't it amazing that through all the evolution, we still see the same stupid mistakes? And it's always the middle class that gets the short end of that stick. And to me, that's the bigger problem. But I'm just one man, and I'm one man who is Bubba on the Bubba Show. And of course, I want to make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. Yeah, help a brother out. Also, go check out the Sporting Edge tomorrow, as I will be a guest on the Sporting Edge with Xander and BubbaTrading.com. And we do a lot of stuff there. We're trying to obviously always improve, trying to change, trying to make things different, because we don't do things the way they've always been done. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we're going to stop out here for a break and come back and finish up for this great Friday. But in the middle of the time, we'll be step out here and go get yourself a cup of coffee. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. To the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. It is Friday. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm ready to guest appear on the Sporting Edge. But in the meantime, all right, so let's talk about oil. So, you know, we've been like on fire and fuego talking about oil on this show and, you know, and all my other stuff. And what I don't understand is we don't need to worry about OPEC. What does OPEC mean to oil, to us? But yet, every asshole expert comes on and says, OPEC. I go, OPEC what? OPEC my ass. Why am I worried about OPEC? They don't mean anything to me. I've got so much oil in this country that I don't have to worry about it. But yet, we have the experts, again, notice how we get they, the experts are they, that are saying, well, you know, oil's, and I'm not saying oil's not going up, but, you know, just because we had a drawdown on oil on Wednesday doesn't mean that the bottom is in, it's going to go flying back up. You know, we work, commodities work on a price discovery model like everything else, but they work on a supply-demand model as well. And when you've got an abundance of supply, what makes you think prices are going to go higher? And again, I'm not saying that they can't go higher. What I'm saying is that you have, again, supposedly respected smart people, but do they have an agenda? And that's always, you know, the conspiracy side of me always says, do they have an agenda? Because I do know that in many cases, many of the big guys do have an agenda to say something. And it's their agenda they're trying to work on versus the benefit of what the real information is. And I know some of these people report, and I know who they are, and I know what they're doing. And to me, I find it, you know, pretty sad that you'll have somebody come on, because one thing I do know for sure, all right, you know, sometimes you're doing the major network stuff, they'll want you to say something, and even if you don't believe in it, and that's one of the reasons that I don't do some of the things that they ask me to do, because I'm never going to go out there and lie to you. I'm going to tell you what my opinion is. Now, my opinion for sure is not always right. All right. So let's not, you know, again, I'm just saying, but you don't want me to come out there and say something that I don't believe. If you're watching me and you use my information, you want me to tell you what I'm really thinking. And unfortunately, a lot of the network stuff that you see is kind of, you know, designed ahead of time. It's like some of the reality shows. You know, some of the stuff that's going to happen is kind of preordained to happen because they want it to happen. And, you know, I remember a number of years ago when oil was, you know, remember it was about 160, 170, whatever it was. And they wanted me to come on and say, I thought it was going to 300. And I said, "You nuts. I'm not doing that." Okay. Because I don't believe that. Right? And that's the problem. But see, the difference is you can always get somebody to say something. You just got to look hard enough. And that's where I believe you see, you know, more of these problems. But what the hell, what are the problems with gold right now and silver? You know, it's like they've gone into a slumber. But amazingly enough, gold continues to hover around that 1225 level. Silver is more like in a coma. But I think when you look at it, okay, you know, obviously the demand for fear right now, and I personally don't use those as fear assets. You know, I don't run to gold if I'm worried. I don't run to silver if I'm worried. I own them and I buy them, but I buy them because I believe price is right and they're a good commodity, a good hard asset to own. But certainly this does tell you and shows you that if you do believe that those are fear assets, then the fear is gone. The fear is gone. Da, 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 da. But no, I mean, seriously, think about it. If we're not moving up and they're not grabbing at, after it, so the markets are telling you there's no fear. So the metal investors, who typically are a little bit more conservative, they're all in on equities because they're not buying gold. Right? We've come down from 1300, not buying silver. Right? So they're not putting it in their mattress. So they're in the stock market. And this is the trap. This is the big trap. This may be the biggest trap of all time. You've got volatility crashing. Okay. Which is fine. But you've got every major player that appears on air, and I don't know what they think privately, but every major player that appears on air is talking up how far the market's going up and how exciting it is and how we're never going to go down again, although we're only up 200% from the bottom, but we're going to the moon, we're going higher. And again, I can't say that we're not going higher. I don't ever want you to think that I know. I just say that that's what the markets are looking like. And our gold has become worthless, okay? Nobody cares. They're not buying it. They're not worried about it. And all of a sudden, my God, Magnum, right? What do we do now? And isn't that just the reason that you start to look? Now, I will give you one tip out of the many that I like to give you. But the biggest tip for investors in general is to stay away from following the crowd, but more importantly, understand and learn how to look at a chart and see when you find what we would consider to be value. Okay? Now, because you're investing, you're not worried about the immediate turn or the immediate trade today. But if you learn to get value, what you're going to really find out is that you're going to be a lot happier with a lot of your investments over time, because you're going to be actually creating an advantage for yourself by finding the right time and not listening to some schmuck on TV who could care less of what you're doing. And of course, how can I prove that? Well, again, this is the thing that bothers me more than anything is when a guy goes on, I love gold. I love this. I love that. Okay. And do you own it? No. Does your family own it? No. Does your firm own it? No. Well, if you loved it, how could you not have it? Right? I mean, again, it's scary. But again, learn to look at the technical aspect of markets. Learn to find the right times to get in, you know, have your stuff working, but learn to find, you know, the more active times to get in when the market's at a spot. And for example, if we look at gold and silver, they're probably reasonable buys at this level because they're being thrown out without regard. Why? Because everybody knows that the markets are going up, the volatility is going down, and we're just having a grand old time because this time is different. And of course, we all know my story, my theory on that, and nobody knows how much more that pisses me off. But, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Again, I think you're finding out that a lot of this is a mirage. And unfortunately, it's a mirage that is being perpetrated by the people that should be exactly really telling you the actual truth, which they don't. But what can I tell you? You know, you'll always get the facts from me as I see them. But when it comes to real facts, you'll always get them from me. And of course, I always appreciate everybody here on this Friday. That's going to do it for today. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, remember that LibertyTalk.fm is where you go to download the Bubba Show every single day. And of course, you can download the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And you know, if you haven't checked out Bubba's Bottom Line yet, you need to do so. It's free. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Be safe. Be healthy. Have fun. And remember, we'll be right back with you on Monday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you on Monday.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.